We get ready. Weapon check.
Each man slipped into the private ritual of checking and rechecking his weapons. Doc Tanner awoke and agreed to stand by the door and keep watch for the janitor. It was 15 minutes past midnight. They were ready a half hour later. Finn led the way, surprisingly cat-footed for such a bulky, clumsy-looking man, his HK-54A2 with the drum mag and built-in silencer in his beefy hands. Doc came second, clutching the massive hand cannon of the Lamah. Ryan prayed silently to himself that the old man didn't need to pull the trigger down on anyone with the ancient blaster. The noise would bring every man and boy in Ginsburg Falls on the run, thinking their precious gas storage tanks had been blown. JB was third, Mini Uzi braced at his hip, with Ryan bringing up the rear of the group, holding the 9mm 6-hour pistol. Outside, through the clean windows facing north, the sky was alight with a distant pattern of lightning from a chem storm. They'd been watching the patrols from the dormitory, timing them and checking their frequency. Around 8 in the evening, they'd heard Wags come lumbering back into the ville, spilling out loads of excited men and tired young lads, exhausted from the day's ritual of exposing female infants. Since then, Ginsburg Falls had become quiet. The pairs and triads of Sekhmet had come down the main street, Sissy Street, making a left along 4th in front of the dormitory. They had returned once every hour, at 10 minutes to 11, and again at 10 to 12. Finn trotted out of the main door and left it to Ryan to slide it quietly shut behind them. There was a sharp-edged section of moon sailing low across the mountains over the lake.
Clear!
Ryan took the lead now, moving quickly through the back lots and yards of stores and large houses. It was a cold night, but not with the same dreadful bite that set cheekbones aching with the sharpness. They passed a house with a row of laurels along its back border. From an open attic window came an unmistakable ruckus.
Shut the hell up, bitch!
Doc Tanner paused.
If there were an amplitude of time, my friends, I vow that it would be a fine cleansing to burn this ville to the foundations. A place of more nugatory worth I never did see.
I'd be happy to fucking chill it, Doc.
No, Finn. What we want best is to get away quick and quiet and easy. If we need to ice some Sekhmet, then we do it. JB, I reckon it's time you went down and got the Kenworth ready. Start her up the moment you see us coming. We'll be moving fast and low.
Sure. Shoot to kill, you guys.
The armorer grinned as he ran toward the Wag Park, his fedora at a jaunty angle on his head. The other three kept on toward the oblong shape of the old workhouse. Ryan saw the Sekhmet before they had a chance to see him in the darkness. He flattened himself against the chipped brick wall of a warehouse. There were two jeeps there, with a half dozen men lounging around them. The way they stood made him suspect no officer was with them. They looked as if they didn't expect to be needed for some time. Finn knelt down and peeked around the corner.
We can waste them all.
There's a back entrance. Saw it this afternoon. Goes along the waterfront. There's an old pier. Runs the whole length and connects with another jetty. Cuts right in by where the Wag's waiting for us.
The back door was open. Several low-watt bulbs were strung along the pale green corridor. A painted board directed visitors to the main entrance and reception areas, but a gilt arrow pointed to the Arthur Sissy Wing, and Ryan and the others took this direction. They passed many open doors to empty rooms that contained iron bedsteads. On each was a pile of gray blankets, folded with edges so sharp it looked as if they'd cut bread. The corridor turned left. The arrows led them up a short flight of stairs and through a pair of swinging doors along another corridor to a closed door on their right. Ryan had seen old police vids where the heroes kicked open doors and leapt through. That often wasn't the way. Better to turn the handle and walk in slow and quiet, as if you had the right to be there, but with your finger on the trigger of your blaster. He glanced at Finn and Doc. They nodded, the old man forcing a thin smile.
Now,
there were five people in the room, which looked around 20 feet square. Two beds were pushed back against the far wall, and a window, barred and curtained, was on the left. Standing just inside the door, a Sekhmet glanced around as the three men casually entered. Christy Roth sat on the nearest bed, face pale as death, eyes closed, lips pressed together. From the painful tension, Ryan spotted immediately that she was in the process of calling on her Earth Mother Gaia to give her the strange power and unnatural strength to perform some almost supernatural feat.
Oh, God, yes, you fucking ho. far.
A second sick man was standing in the middle of the room, holding his carbine, its muzzle pressed against the back of Lori Quint's neck. She was kneeling, hands supporting her on either side of her spread thighs. Her long yellow hair dangled around her face, hiding what she was doing. But the bobbing of her head made it unmistakable. She was naked, with bruises across her shoulders and ribs.
Oh, Doc!
The fifth person in the room was Mayor Theodore Sissy, sitting squatly in his wheelchair, eyes tightly shut, a sickly smile hugging his lips. From where Ryan stood, he could just see that the front of the cripple's trousers was unzipped. Lori's blonde tresses brushed against the frail, dangling, stunted legs.
Don't do it, Doc.
Finn, however, had his own idea. The heckler and coke was set on triple burst. He touched the light trigger just once, opening up the throat of the guard at the door. The man's body jerked back and hit the wall, sliding down and leaving a great smear of bright scarlet blood across the clean paint. The other guard turned.
What the fuck?
The barrel of his carbine jerked away from Lori's skull. His mouth dropped open in shock, eyes widening as he saw his death a pulse away. Ryan took a chance. At less than 15 feet, the 9mm bullet hit the sec man through the bridge of the nose. The impact lifted him off his feet, then his boots came clattering down, kicking and flailing for balance. The bullet exited out through the back of his head. Blood and brains splattered under pressure, dappling the whitewashed ceiling with a pink-gray mist.
Close the door, Doc. Keep watch. If we're lucky, the guards out front won't have heard anything. Too many doors and corridors between us. But listen for him. You all right, Lori? Christy?
What the fuck are you outworlders doing? You're all fucking dead meat!
Theodore Sissy's hands frantically tried to shove his fast-softening member back inside his pants. Doc thumped back the hammer of his Lama.
You putrescent scum!
The door, Doc.
Lori rose, her eyes locked on the seated man, her hands hanging loose at her sides, making no effort to cover her nakedness. Christy shuddered, as if she'd just come from a deep-drugged sleep. She opened her eyes and looked across the room at Ryan, taking in the two blood-sodden corpses of the sec men.
Hello, Ryan.
Get Lori dressed. Where are your blasters?
Under the bed in the corner. The sec men kicked them there out of the way when the mayor arrived for his fucking sickness boost.
If I scream, you're all dead. The whole fucking militia will be in here in seconds. There's nowhere to go, nowhere you can run.
The great soft face rippled as Mayor Sissy licked his thick pink lips.
I'm all right.
Are you sure, Lori?
Yeah, Ryan. I'll get dressed. Won't take a moment.
Finnegan leaned on the back of the wheelchair, the warm muzzle of the submachine gun resting casually against Sissy's neck. Christy joined Ryan near the door.
The sec goons beat her when she refused to blow him. She gave in. I was going to be next. He decided to get a guard to ass-fuck me while I sucked him. That was when I was going to kill him and try for the other two. The carbine wouldn't have stopped me.
In his wheelchair, the diminutive mayor of the ville was wriggling from side to side, looking around at the dead guards. He turned to Ryan Carter.
You hope to use me to get you safe away?
No.
You hope I'll spare you?
No.
Lori was almost dressed. She pulled her soft leather boots up over her muscular thighs, the spurs jingling, then stood up from the bed and buckled on the belt and holster for her pearl-handled Walther PPK-22. Brushing her hair away from her face, she moved to stand in front of Sissy.
Not a lot of time, Lori. Gotta pick up the wag. JB will be wondering where the fuck we are.
Won't take long, this won't.
Doc stuck his head back into the room.
All quiet out here.
He saw Lori looking at the crippled Sissy.
I'll attend to this.
No.
Please, now, let me go and I'll let you all go free.
Sissy's face jerked and twitched. He gripped the wheels of the chair, trying to roll away from the icy stare of the tall blonde girl. She jammed one foot hard between his legs. Her heel held him still.
You fuck. You miserable little fuckhead bastard. Making me... Open your mouth, Mayor.
Sissy opened his lips as wide as he could, and she drew her pistol, ramming the barrel into his mouth, breaking off one of his front teeth so that blood trickled over his chin and down his elegant suit. Ryan lurched forward, but Christy restrained him, shaking her head.
Let her.
Suck on this, Mayor.
Lori blew a kiss to the helpless man. Her own lips peeled back off her strong white teeth in a feral grin.
Suck it good.
Blood spilled from his open mouth and his nose. His eyes stared blankly at the ceiling.
The fucker ate it good, didn't he?
Sure did, Lori. Now let's get out of here.
A mile out of town, Christy wanted to stop at another of the population markers.
Want to go and adjust the total for the late Mayor Sissy.
Late and unlamented.
Best keep moving.
JB hugged the wheel of the big Kenworth truck, gunning the motor, pedal to the metal, twin lights blazing a path along the old blacktop. About 10 miles out of town, they picked up the bedraggled figure of Jack Lauren. For the rest of the night, the seven drove on, away from Ginsburg Falls, following the northward trail, tugged on by the radio message. With its mysterious words of hope. In the pale light of dawn, they passed a bullet-riddled sign, leaning drunkenly to one side, telling them they were on State Highway 62. JB had found a creased and taped map of the district in the glove compartment of the big truck. He opened it carefully, knowing from previous experience how delicate very old documents could be. The light in the crowded cab was a faint, flickering, uncovered light bulb, and he angled the map beneath it, trying to hold it steady against the lurching of the big vehicle. Finnegan, as always, was driving sloppily.
Watch the damn bumps, Finnegan!
Watch the fucking bumps yourself! Go!
The Kenworth hadn't taken kindly to being pushed along at a speed beyond what its age could handle. In the first hour, a couple of the forward gears had stopped functioning, and the shift was becoming uncomfortably hot to touch.
See where we're heading, JB?
Yeah, there's a big mountain called Mazama. Old volcano with a round lake in its crater.
Crater Lake.
Doc was trying to stretch himself awake, finding that there wasn't enough room for his spindly legs with Lori asleep in his arms.
Know anything about it, Doc?
Some.
Yeah? Go on.
Doc shook his head, his stringy hair dangling across his shoulders.
Cerberus and the other projects were intensely secret. But there were others. I was not privy to many of them.
Everyone in the party, except the albino boy, was awake. Christy was puzzled.
What does privy mean, Doc?
At one time, dear lady, it had the meaning of a place for one's bowel movements and bladder evacuations.
What's that?
Means where you piss and shit, Laurie. Doesn't it, Doc?
The old man nodded, the pearly light from the east illuminating his oddly perfect teeth.
But in this case, my dear Ryan, it means there were doors closed to me. I was allowed certain knowledge on a need-to-know basis. I do recall that Crater Lake was... what was it?
Shit!
Finn applied the brakes and made his way down through the gears, fighting the truck to a slowing halt.
What now?
Road's blocked!
Ryan ignored him, concentrating on clinging to Doc's elusive memory.
Crater Lake was what?
In truth, it was. A man might trudge along, noting every passing phenomenon. Phenomenon. Truly said, my boy. It was that and more.
It was too late. The frail highways that linked brain and memory had fallen asunder again.
Is someone gonna get off their ass and move that fucking pile of wood?
Finn wound down the window of the truck and spat out into the freezing morning. Though the engine was beat up, at least the heater worked. Outside, the temperature was way down past freezing. Ryan almost expected to hear Finnegan's spittle turn to ice in the air and tinkle on the road. Ryan peered through the windshield. Ahead, he could see the blacktop rolling higher between the banks of dark conifers. Above them, to the left, there'd been an earth slide, bringing down a jumble of debris, including the snapped branches and fallen trunks of pines. By the look of it, the blockage had been there for a while, confirming their suspicion that the good folk of Ginsburg Falls didn't travel north very often. The driving easterly wind blew a flurry of snow against the glass, blinding him for a moment. As it cleared, Ryan thought he spotted movement among the stunted young trees at the side of the highway. But when he stared,